here we are at the end of 2009, just about ready to go into 2010, and I'm going to keep my watch handy here. The one time I most need the clock, it's been replaced by a wreath, but I'll occasionally refer to my watch. There are so many things that come together on a night like this. Let's begin with the religious significance of this night. It's all religious, but in particular, the liturgical significance. We're celebrating a feast day called Mary, the Mother of God. And she has that title because Jesus is God. Now, it is a little bit of an edgy title because most of us, our notion of motherhood is that a mother precedes in existence her son. In this case, Jesus preceded in existence his own mother. Although in terms of his human nature, he certainly took that from her. But Mary is not the mother of the divine nature, but of the human nature of Christ. But Christ is one person with two natures. We don't divide up Jesus and say, well, she's only the mother of his humanity. Would you say, my mother is only the mother of my body, not my soul? We don't do that, do we? We don't divide ourselves up like that. So we don't divide up Jesus either. So she does rightfully receive the title Mother of God, because Jesus is God, and therefore she is his mother, and therefore she is rightfully called the Mother of God. It's that title of that feast, although I will say to you that this is a relatively new feast in the church. Up until about 1965 or 68, this feast was simply referred to as the circumcision of the Lord. Because tonight, we are not just celebrating New Year's Eve. We are celebrating the eighth day of the octave of Christmas. And I want to say more about that in a minute. But for every Jewish boy, on the eighth day, they were brought to the synagogue leader or whoever was designated in the local community to take care of this, and they were circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. And their name was announced for the first time. So this feast day that we're celebrating has several different histories. So at one point in history, it was called the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, because his name was announced to the community for the first time on the eighth day. He was also circumcised on this day, and so it was called the Feast of the Circumcision. Now, we did have that in the gospel tonight. I don't know if you noticed, but it simply says that when 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So we have then a clear reference in the scripture tonight to that feast, although it is no longer called the Feast of the Circumcision. Now, that's some liturgical background to tonight. Let's talk a little bit more about the notion of the eighth day. You see, brothers and sisters, most people say, what is Christmas Day? And they say, aha, it's December 25th. Well, not exactly. Because there's more to Christmas than December 25th. Now, maybe to the world, which has become very secular, there's only one day to Christmas. But in the Catholic and Christian tradition and the ancient practice of the church was to extend Christmas 8 whole days. We do this for 2 feast days of the year, Christmas and Easter. They are so important that we take and we, in following a Jewish practice, we celebrate them for a week and a day, so that a week ago today was Christmas Day. And as of tomorrow, it is the eighth day, or starting tonight at midnight, it is the eighth day of Christmas. It's called the Christmas octave. And church, it isn't 8 days, it's really one long day. You get the idea? It's one long day. Because it's so important, we extend the day. So I say to you, Merry Christmas. And I am not out of date. Maybe the world is taking down poinsettias and getting ready to put away Christmas decorations. But in the church, we celebrate, first of all, the octave, and then informally we celebrate all the way up to January 6th, the so-called 12 days of Christmas. But most formally, it's the eight days of the octave which we celebrate. That's Christmas Day, one long day of 8 days. Now, why do I bring this up? All around the world tonight, if we were to turn the television on at midnight, we would see 2010 flashing. 2010, and Happy New Year's. 2010. Now, I think most of us have known, studied our history enough to know that the world is older than 2010 years, amen? Recorded history goes back a little over 5,000 years. Even further, of course, anthropology takes us all the way back 10, 15,000 years into the past in terms of our human family. But recorded history is much longer than 2010 years. 2010 years, where does that number come from? And I think most of you are aware, but just in case you're not, because our world gets increasingly secular. And I've learned as a priest never to presume, especially that younger people are aware of some of the things that I was just kind of instinctively aware of as a kid. It's 2010 years A.D., which means Anno Domini. It is, which means the year of the Lord, 2010. Church, it is the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2010. It is 2010 years since Jesus changed history. It is 2010 years since he was born and brought light back into a darkened world. Amen? So, we're here tonight to celebrate the birthday of the Lord. Now, I know that I'm kind of putting a lot of things on the table, and now it's time to kind of connect some of these dots. Why, if it's 2010 years since the birth of Christ, why do we wait? Why is New Year's Day not Christmas Day? That'd be the best way to put it. Why doesn't our calendar year change on Christmas Day? And the answer is what I just gave you. It's a Catholic answer. And the Catholic answer is that we wait to the completion of the eighth day. And then we change our calendars. In other words, we celebrate the birthday of the Lord for 8 days, and that ends on January 1st, and boom, our calendar changes. It goes from 2009 to 2010. Now, the world out there doesn't know much of this, do they? But church, I don't care how secular, I don't care how worldly, they're all out there tonight referring to Jesus. They don't know it, but they're talking about Jesus. They're saying, Happy New Year, 2010. Well, who told you to celebrate New Year's on January 1st? Jesus told you to celebrate on January 1st through his church. That's how. Well, other parts of the world, there are celebrations of New Year at different times of the year. The Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, is in September. The Chinese New Year varies, but it's in spring. Brothers and sisters, but the whole world, the one date that unifies us is the Christian date. Jesus is what unifies everyone in the world, no matter to the Jewish people. I made some notes here. To the Jewish people right now, it is the year 5770. But if you go to Israel, they're all writing 2010 on their checks. Hello? If you go to the Muslim world, it is the year 1431 AH. 1431 years since Muhammad reached Medina. But they all write. I went to Al Jazeera's website today just to be sure. They have it December 31st, 2009. That's what it said on there. So they may have their local customs about what year it is, but in the end, church, all throughout the world tonight, everyone is saying 2010. They don't know it, but they're saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what they're saying. Hallelujah, church. And they're celebrating on January 1st because the church set it up that way. These so-called holidays, you know, that's just a mispronunciation of the word holy day. Amen? Holiday is a misspelling and a mispronunciation of the word holy day. That's because the devil is a lousy speller. And he doesn't know how to speak English well. Holiday is holy day. And they're all shouting Jesus and they don't even know it. And everyone in this country, they may call themselves an atheist, but every time they write a letter and they put a date at the top this year and they say 2010, they're talking about Jesus. Every time a person writes a check, they may be an avowed atheist, but every time they write 2010, they're talking about Jesus. Hallelujah, church. Jesus is the Lord of history. And as you've heard before, history is his story. So it is tonight we acknowledge, we're in God's house to explicitly acknowledge that what most people think of as a very secular holiday is in fact a very sacred holy day. It's the completion of the octave of Christmas, when the Lord was circumcised and his name Jesus, which means God saves, was announced for the first time. It is a time when we gather and acknowledge the passage of time. We entrust ourselves to God's care and we trust him to see us through the new year. And so this is a night for us to celebrate our faith as well. In the African-American community, it's also Watch Night, going back to the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. And so it is that that would become effective on New Year's of that year. And the slaves kept watch all through that night, waiting for their freedom to be officially recognized by the government. Now, they had been called slaves. They were not slaves. Somebody say amen. But they were called slaves. But now, the official recognition of the United States government was they were forever free. So they kept watch. We remember, we so easily take freedom for granted today. But it is something to deeply celebrate. Amen? Another thing I want to say to you about tonight as we celebrate this mystery of time. It's about 10 minutes to midnight now. Something remarkable is going to happen. One year will end and another year begins. Some imaginary line passes over Washington, D.C. It just passes over us, and suddenly we go from one year to the next. Have you ever thought about the mystery of time? What a deep mystery it is. You know, we say, what time is it? Well, it's 10 minutes to midnight. What date is it? You know, well, it's December 31st. But this is deeply mysterious. For example, I was pondering the other day that there's a clock that all of us have in us. And we don't know what time the clock says. God does. But I want to say to you, tomorrow is not promised. And I hope you're walking with the Lord. And I suspect you are if you're in this church tonight. Praise the Lord. But there's a mystery to this clock, isn't there? You know, I have a cat over in the rectory, and his name is Daniel. And you know, Daniel is not that different physiologically from me. I have lungs, he has lungs. He has a tail, I don't have a tail. But he has a brain, he has eyes, he has a heart, kidneys. Physiologically, we have a lot in common. But for some reason, his clock is set at 15 years, and my clock is set at 80, or theoretically. Most of us who are healthy can live into our 80s. Why? Why is his clock 15 years and mine 80? I have no idea. And neither do any of the scientists. Why do certain parakeets live to be 150 years and other birds live only 3 years? No idea. There's a mysterious clock that's built into every creature. Now, time is deeply mysterious. For example, have you ever thought about what is really meant by eternity? You know, we talk a lot about having eternal life. And most of us think that eternal life means to go and live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That is not what is meant by eternal life. Eternal life is not merely the length of life, it's the fullness of life. It's not just the length of time, it's the fullness of time. Did you hear this expression tonight? When in the fullness of time, God sent forth his only son, born of a woman. The fullness of time. That is what the Bible means by eternity. Now you say, well, so what? Try to imagine with me for a moment the fullness of time. Think of a clock, or if you have a watch, just look at it. Out on the edge of the clock are numbers. That's where we live, in chronological time, in serial time. Days and hours and minutes pass. And right now, let's just say that it's almost midnight. That means 10 p.m. is in the past and 2 a.m. is in the future. But look at that dot in the center of your watch. Or in the clock in your mind's eye, at that dot in the center, can't you see that 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock are all the same? All those times are equally present to the center dot on the watch or the clock. Are you following me? That, brothers and sisters, is eternity. I have this to say to you. That God is not waiting for 2010 to happen for you and me. He has always been there. God is not up there in heaven watching our lives like a movie. God is already in your future. He's in your past. He's in your present. It's all the same to God. There's an old saying. In an old gospel hymn, simply says, he's already provided. God has already taken care of your 2010. It's all laid out. It's all taken care of. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, every one of my days, Lord, has been written in your book before one of them ever came to be. Church, God lives in the fullness of time. And one day, if we're worthy, we will go and live with him there. And I don't know how, but what we're doing right now will be present to us. Past, present, and future, all at once. All the same. The mystery of time. Tonight, we're living out here in the edge of the clock, and a little line comes over, an imaginary line comes over Washington, D.C., and we go from 2009 to 2010. But church, to God, it's all the same. God has always known you. God will always know you. Nothing is past for him. Nothing is future. Everything is now, present. Isn't that why God's name is I Am? Yahweh means I am that I am. Tonight, we move for just a moment to the center with God. I don't want you to have any doubts or concerns about 2010, because God has already provided. I know that some of us have been through difficulties. I see folks in this church who have celebrated funerals, who have had difficulties financially. But God got you here tonight. And we may not always have everything we want, but we have what we need. And sometimes our faith is tested. But church, I just want you to know, 2010 is going to be just fine, because God has been in 2010 from all eternity, and He's taken care of it all. It will be just fine. Take a moment now. Take a moment now and just quietly wait for the sound of midnight. The bell will ring, and then we'll stand. Briefly greet one another with New Year's blessings, and then I hope you'll join the choir as we sing a hymn of praise. The first words out of our mouth tonight are going to be words of praise. Isn't that nice? The very first thing that we do tonight in the new year will be to greet one another with the love of Christ and praise the Lord with all our heart. So take a moment now and prepare yourself. It's about 1 minute from midnight. Spend a moment, quietly prepare, thank God, and prepare to stand at midnight. Listen to the bell for a moment, greet each other, and then praise the Lord. Amen.